Okay, so this evening we're going to be in 1 John 1. We'll go through it a little bit. Just a quick intro. I won't take long because we're not doing the whole book. I'm just doing just this portion. Thank you, Pastor Richard, for giving me and Pastor Bob, too, for giving me the opportunity to teach tonight. So 1 John 1, this epistle is written to the Christian in the areas of Ephesus and possibly the modern day Turkey. This letter is a warning against the danger of false teachings, and it exhorts the believers to lives of obedience to God and the love for their brothers and sisters. Its main theme is fellowship with God the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. And we can find that in verse 1-3 in this chapter. So let's get into it. Let us read, and then I'll break down a little bit. So tonight I'm going to go from 1 John 1 to about 2, 1 John 2, 1 to 2. Okay, let us read this evening. Verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message with which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, and He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, for this opportunity again, just to go through this book and this portion of scripture. And there's so much here, Lord, that I feel that you want to teach us this evening. And we just ask that through the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you just guide us this morning, this evening, Lord, as we study. Go before us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so going back again. For those that are late, we are in 1 John 1 this evening. For verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. This verse here, that which was from the beginning, this verse could point us back to Genesis 1 or to John, the Gospel of John, which the Apostle John also wrote. And he was showing us here that Jesus is the Word, was God from the beginning. And this is what it says in in the Gospel of John, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness is not comprehend. So the Apostle John could also be pointing to the beginning, not from the beginning of Genesis, but for the beginning of his encounter with Jesus. Since if we look at this first verse, it does say that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. So here he's saying that he has met the Word itself. He has met Jesus. So when he says here, that which was from the beginning, he could possibly mean that he's talking about the beginning of when he encountered Jesus, when Jesus started his ministry. And one of the... In this part, why the Apostle John is writing this and why is he saying it in such a manner is that, as we kind of alluded to in the intro, that this was a letter that was a warning against the false teaching at that time that's spreading through that area. So in this period of time, the false teachers were countering the teaching of the church. Some of these false teachers were thought to be like the Gnostics, who believed that it was impossible that God actually became a man. This is the Gnostics' belief, that Jesus was just an emanation of God, but not God incarnate. So in order to counter these false teaching, the Apostle John states that which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. And then he goes on to the second verse here. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. And also on verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. So the Apostle John basically just said, look, we have seen the Lord Jesus with our eyes, and we have touched him. He and the other apostles are the eyewitness of this. So he's trying to tell them, don't let false teachers tell you otherwise, because here he is, John, one of the pretty much the last apostle alive at that time, is saying that we have seen Jesus and we have touched him. So this is also relevant to us today, because in our time, we have highly educated people in science and academia, people that invent modern computers, made robotics. They may send people to the moon and spaceships through the solar systems. These are very smart people. And in their pursuit of higher education, they forgot their creator, God, right? They forgot God. So the reason that the Bible is made up is a made up story, a fairy tale of sort, and that Jesus never existed. We hear that all the time. But if we look at the archaeologists who was digging in the Holy Land, they find evidence of the names, the cities, the places that were written in our Bible. So this portion of scripture is very relevant to us today, because it reminds us that Jesus was a real person. And John said, we saw the Lord and we touched him. in the second part of verse 3, I'll read it again. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So this portion is talks about the fellowship, right? It says, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So the definition of fellowship is a group of people meeting to pursue a shared interest or aim. In this case, our shared interest or their shared interest is Jesus Christ. As we learned earlier that the Apostle John was writing to the church, so that the people he's writing to is already Christians. He is not writing to convert them per se, but he has the desire for them to have fellowship with us. And the Apostle John goes on to say that he also wants them to have this fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ also. So in one sense, the Apostle John was writing to these Christians because he may have heard that they were being led away by these false teachers. As a result, they kind of lost their first love. Revelation tells us that in some of these churches, like the Church of Ephesus, that you have lost your first love, Jesus Christ. So John was writing to remind them that their belief is beyond their salvation, that they can have this fellowship with the apostles and with God, with Jesus. Verse 4. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. The Apostle John wants the Christians to be full of joy. This reminds us of when Jesus said in John 15:11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. It's interesting, in the NIV, this portion of scripture, it says, make our joy complete. So in here it says, and in this is the New King James, and these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. But in NIV it says, we write this to make our joy full. It's interesting, the translation is a little different. Here it says your joy, but in the NIV it says our joy. So his joy is also going to be full. Verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. In verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Just to go back just a tad, as we kind of mentioned earlier, John's writing to the church here is that he wants them to have fellowship. Fellowship with who? Fellowship with the apostles, with the other saints, and also fellowship with God himself. So in verse five to six, the Apostle John continues to tell us that he heard from Jesus, in the sense that he was telling us that God is light, and in him there is no darkness. He's reminding the reader that he has spent 3 years with Jesus, physically walking through the regions of Israel, ministering to people. He heard many things and is now relaying that to the church. So John says that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. This imagery of light, the Apostle Peter also uses that in 1 Peter 2. Tells us that believers were called out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Regarding the light, the Apostle Paul puts it this way in 1 Thessalonians 5:5. Says that the believers are sons of light and sons of the day. You are sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Now, in the Gospel of John, the Apostle John contrasts the believer to those that do evil deeds as one who loves darkness. Here in John, in the Gospel of John 3:19-20, it says this, and this is their condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. In verse 6, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lied and do not practice the truth. See, we cannot be sinning and expected to have fellowship with God. And that's kind of like what the Apostle John is alluding to. In verse 7, it says, but if we walk in the light and he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. So if we walk in the light, walking in the light is living the Christian life. In this lifestyle, we read the Bible, we pray, we fellowship, we have communion as the Lord commands us. We are like the Acts 2:42 believers. So this is what it says in Acts 2:42. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. So in a way, if we are living or walking in the light, we should be doing these things, like the Acts 2:42 believers. We will have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from our sin. But for those who are backslidden, they may not be sensitive to the word, so it's easy for them to say something like that which was described in verse 8. Let's read that. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, John is kind of telling us that when we are out of fellowship with the Lord, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We're not sensitive to the word. See, sin separates us. So that we are not no longer in fellowship with the Lord. Even though we know, as Christians, we know that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. But if we are backslidden, we might not see that. And in verse 9, this is what John says. This is, so we have, if we have sin in our lives, how do we remedy that? So this is what John says in verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we have to confess our sins. That's what John, the Apostle John, is telling us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the amazing grace that our God would forgive us of our sin if we confess it to him. However, for those that are backslidden, confession of sin is never easy. I remember back when I was a young Christian, it was hard. It was hard for me to believe that Jesus would forgive me of my sins. And when we do sin, it's hard to come to Jesus and ask for forgiveness because we're not sensitive to it anymore. We're not sensitive to the word. We don't have that fellowship because the sin breaks that fellowship. Even though the Bible here, in this, even though John says, if we confess our sin, he is there to forgive us. So in our backslidden state, we might not recognize that. And we might not use this portion, says, if we confess our sins. That's what John is reminding us. In verse 10, it says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So going back to that, where as a backslidden Christian, we might say things like that. That we might say that we have not sinned. So therefore, why should we come and confess our sins? And so John kind of alludes to that here. In verse 10, he says that it tells us, well, the Bible tells us that we were born as sin. This is part of our fallen nature that we have inherited from Adam and Eve, as described in the book Genesis. So this is our sin nature. So if we say that we have no sin, we make him a liar. And if we did that, then the word is not in us. The apostle Paul in Romans 3:10 states it this way. There's none righteous, no, not one. John reminds us that sin separates us from having that fellowship with God. We remember that John writing this letter to the church is to remind them, the Christians, that they should have that fellowship. And how do you have that fellowship? You have to remove that sin so that you can have that fellowship with one another and also with God. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate from the Father, Jesus, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. In the very first part, John uses my little children, kind of like a father talking to his children, gives you a sense of how John sees the church. So his purpose in this part is that he says this: these things I write to you so that you may not sin. So he's writing them to remind them, don't sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. See, in our fallen state, you know, we are not, only Jesus is sinless. So in our lives as a Christian, as we walk as Christians, we're gonna sin. And so he's reminding us that even in our sin, fallen state, in a hopeless state, we try to strive to be more like Jesus. And as we do that, there's an advocate, Jesus Christ, is advocating for us. And he says here that, and he himself is the propitiation for our sin. He, and Jesus himself, so he is the propitiation. Jesus became our substitute for our sin. So instead of us taking the punishment for our sin, Jesus died on the cross for us. So not only for us, but for the whole world. But we know that only those that believe in Jesus is cleansed. But he did die for the whole world. So remember that this, the John wrote this epistle so that to remind the Christian that they may have, in verse 3, that they may have fellowship with us, the apostles. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And here he ends it with, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. That's just the amazing part. I think in reading through this, and studying through it, we find that fellowship is very important. Just like in Calvary Chapel Artesia, we have the fellowship. We also have that fellowship with the Father up in heaven and with Jesus Christ. But we can't have any of that unless we walk in the light. And how do we walk in the light? We walk like little children's. And we try not to sin. And if we do sin, we have Jesus, our advocate, who will forgive us of our sin.